5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Well, here we are with the next four chapters of The Adventures of Bobby Coon, written by our old friend, Thornton W. Burgess. I hope that you have been enjoying this story so far. I know I have. In today's story, I think it is pretty cool because we see a little bit of dialogue from Farmer Brown's boy, which I have always thought he was just a silent character in Mr. Burgess's stories. The story also makes me think of Mr. Burgess's autobiography and how he was a naturalist. Hopefully, you can get out into nature and see some of our friends from the Green Meadows and the Green Forest. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
To go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 5. Bobby Coon Shows Fight. Who for his home doth bravely fight is doing what he knows is right. A coward he, the world would say, should he turn tail and run away. Bobby Coon couldn't run away if he wanted to. I suspect that he would have run only too gladly if there had been the least chance to. But there he was, a prisoner in his own house. He couldn't get out if he wanted to, and he didn't want to just then, because he knew by the sound of Bowser the Hound's deep sniffs at his doorway, followed by his eager barks, that Bowser had discovered that he, Bobby, was at home. He knew that Bowser couldn't get in, and so he was very well content to stay where he was. But presently, Bobby heard the voice of Farmer Brown's boy and thought Bobby didn't understand what Farmer Brown's boy said. His heart sank way down to his toes just the same. At least, that is the way it felt to Bobby. You see, he knew by the sound of that voice, even though he couldn't understand the words, that Farmer Brown's boy had understood Bowser and now knew that there was someone at home in that hollow tree. As to that, Bobby was quite right. While Farmer Brown's boy couldn't understand what Bowser was saying as he whined and yelped, he did understand perfectly what Bowser meant. "Who is it, Bowser, old fellow? Is it a squirrel? Or Whitefoot the Wood Mouse, or that sly old scamp, Unc' Billy Possum?" asked Farmer Brown's boy. "Bow, wow, wow," replied Bowser, dancing about between sniffs at Bobby's doorway. "I don't know what that means, but I'm going to find out, Bowser," laughed Farmer Brown's boy, picking up his axe. "Bow, wow, bow, wow, wow, wow," replied Bowser, more excited than ever. First, Farmer Brown's boy had Farmer Brown hold Bowser away from the opening. Then, with his axe, he thumped all along the hollow part of the tree, hoping that this would frighten whoever was inside so that they would try to run out. But Bobby couldn't get out because, as you know, his doorway was partly closed, and he wouldn't have even if he could. He felt safer right where he was, so Farmer Brown's boy thumped in vain. When he found that this was useless, he drove the keen edge of his axe in right at the edge of the hole, which was Bobby's doorway. Farmer Brown joined with his axe, and in a few minutes they had slit out a long strip which reached clear to where Bobby was crouching and let the light pour in, so that he had to blink and for a minute or two had hard work to see at all. Right away, Bowser discovered him, and growling savagely, tried to get at him. But the opening wasn't wide enough for Bowser to get more than his nose in, and this Bobby promptly seized in his sharp teeth. "Yow! Oh, let go! Let go!" yelled Bowser. "Grrr!" growled Bobby, and tried to sink his teeth deeper. Bowser yelled and howled and shook his head and pulled as hard as ever he could, so that at last Bobby had to let go. Farmer Brown's boy hurried up to look in. What he saw was a mouthful of sharp teeth snapping at him. Bobby Coon might have been very much afraid, but he didn't show it. No, sir, he didn't show it. What he did show was that he meant to fight for his life, liberty, and home. He was very fierce-looking, was Bobby Coon, as Farmer Brown's boy peeped in at him. Chapter 6. Something is Wrong with Bobby Coon. Farmer Brown's boy chuckled as he peered in at Bobby Coon and watched Bobby show his teeth and listened to his snarls and growls. It was very plain that Bobby intended to fight for his life. It may be an entirely hopeless fight, but he would fight just the same. "Bobby," said Farmer Brown's boy, "you certainly are a plucky little rascal. I know just what you think. You think that my father and I cut this tree down just to get you, and you think that we and Bowser the Hound are going to try to kill you. You are all wrong, Bobby, all wrong. If we had known that this tree was your home, we wouldn't have cut it down. No, sir, we wouldn't. And now that we have found out that it is, we are not going to harm so much as a hair on you. I'm going to cut this opening a little larger so that you can get out easily, and then I'm going to hold on to Bowser and give you a chance to get away. I hope you know of some other hollow tree near here to which you can go. It's a shame, Bobby, that we didn't know about this. It certainly is, and I'm ever so sorry. Now you just quit your snarling and growling while I give you a chance to get out." But Bobby continued to threaten to fight whoever came near. You see, he couldn't understand what Farmer Brown's boy said, which was too bad, because it would have lifted a great load from his mind. So he didn't have the least doubt that these were enemies and that they intended to kill him. He didn't believe he had the least chance in the world to escape, but he bravely intended to fight the very best he could just the same. And this shows that Bobby possessed the right kind of a spirit. It shows that he wasn't a quitter. Furthermore, though no one else knew it but himself, Bobby had been badly hurt when that tree fell. The fact is, one of Bobby's legs had been broken. Yet in spite of this, he meant to fight. Yes, sir, in spite of a broken leg, he had no intention of giving up until he had to. Farmer Brown's boy swung his axe a few times and split the opening in the hollow tree wider so that Bobby would have no trouble in getting out. All the time, Bobby snapped and snarled and gritted his teeth. Then Farmer Brown's boy led Bowser the Hound off to one side and held him. Farmer Brown joined them, and then they waited. Bobby couldn't see them. It grew very still there in the green forest. Bobby didn't know just what to make of it. Could it be that he had frightened them away by his fierceness? After a while, he began to think that this was so. He waited just as long as he could be patient, and then poked his head out. No one was to be seen, for Farmer Brown and his boy and Bowser the Hound were hidden by a little clump of hemlock trees. Slowly and painfully, Bobby climbed out. That broken leg hurt dreadfully. It was one of his front legs, and of course he had to hold that paw up. That meant that he had to walk on three legs. This was bad enough, but when he started to climb a tree, he couldn't. With a broken leg, there would be no more climbing for Bobby Coon. It was useless for him to look for another hollow tree. All he could do was to look for a hollow log into which he could crawl. Poor Bobby Coon. What should he do? What could he do? For the first time, his splendid courage deserted him. You see, he thought he was all alone there and that no one saw him. So he just crouched right down there at the foot of the tree he had started to climb and whimpered. He was frightened and very, very miserable, was Bobby Coon, and he was in great pain. Chapter 7, Bobby Has a Strange Journey. It's funny how you'll often find that trouble's mostly in your mind. It's a fact. More than 3/4 of the troubles that worry people are not real troubles at all. They are all in the mind. They are things that people are afraid are going to happen and worry about until they are sure they will happen, and then they do not happen at all. Very, very often, things that seem bad turn out to be blessings. All of us do a great deal of worrying for nothing. I know I do. Bobby Coon did when he took a strange journey, which I'm going to tell you about. Farmer Brown and Farmer Brown's boy and Bowser the Hound had watched Bobby crawl out of his ruined house and start off to seek a new home. Of course, they had seen right away that something was wrong with Bobby, for he walked on 3 legs and held the 4th one up. "The poor little chap," murmured Farmer Brown's boy pityingly. "That leg must have been hurt when the tree fell. I hope it isn't hurt bad. We'll wait a few minutes and see what he does." So they waited in their hiding place and watched Bobby. They saw him go to the foot of a tree as if to climb it. They saw him try and fail because he couldn't climb with only 3 legs. And they saw him crouch down, and that was when Farmer Brown's boy was sure that Bobby's hurt was really serious. "We can't let that little fellow go to suffer and perhaps die," said Farmer Brown's boy, and ran forward while Farmer Brown held Bowser. Bobby heard him coming and promptly faced about, ready to fight bravely. When he got near enough, Farmer Brown's boy threw his coat over Bobby and then, in spite of Bobby's frantic struggles, gathered him up and wrapped the coat about him so that he could neither bite nor scratch. Bobby was quite helpless. "I'm going to take him home, and when I've made him quite comfortable, I'll come back," cried Farmer Brown's boy. "All right," replied Farmer Brown, with a kindly twinkle in his eyes. So Farmer Brown's boy started for home, carrying Bobby as gently as he could. Of course, Bobby couldn't see where he was being taken because that coat was over his head, and of course he hadn't understood a word that Farmer Brown's boy had said. But Bobby could imagine all sorts of dreadful things, and he did. He was sure that when this journey ended, the very worst that could happen would happen. He was quite hopeless, was Bobby Coon. He kept still because he had to. There was nothing else to do. All the time, he wondered where he was being taken. He was sure that never again would he see the green forest. His broken leg pained him dreadfully, but fear of what would happen when the strange journey ended made him almost forget the pain. It was the first time in all his life that Bobby ever had journeyed anywhere save on his own 4 feet, and quite aside from his fear, it gave him a very queer feeling. He kept wishing it would end quickly, yet at the same time, he didn't want it to end because of what he was sure would happen then. So through the green forest, then through the old orchard, and finally across the barnyard to the barn, Bobby Coon was carried. It was the strangest journey he had ever known, and it was the most terrible, though it needn't have been if only he could have known the truth. Chapter 8, Farmer Brown's Boy Plays Doctor. No greater joy can one attain than helping ease another's pain. Poor Bobby Coon. His broken leg pained him a great deal, of course. Broken legs and arms always do pain. They hurt dreadfully when they are broken, they hurt dreadfully after they are broken, and they hurt while they are mending. Among the little people of the Green Forest and the Green Meadows, a broken leg or arm is a great deal worse than it is with us humans. We know how to fix the break so that Mother Nature may mend it and make the leg or arm as good as ever. But with the little people of the Green Forest and the Green Meadows, nothing of this sort is possible, and very, very often a broken limb means an early death. You see, such a break will not mend properly, and the little sufferer becomes a cripple, and cripples cannot long escape their enemies. So though he didn't know it at the time, it was a very lucky thing for Bobby Coon that Farmer Brown's boy discovered that broken leg and wrapped him up in his coat and took him home. Bobby didn't think it was lucky. Oh my, no. Bobby thought it was just the other way about. You see, he didn't know Farmer Brown's boy except by sight. He didn't know of his gentleness and tender heart. All he knew of men and boys was that most of them seemed to delight in hunting him, in frightening him, and trying to kill him. So all through that strange journey in the arms of Farmer Brown's boy, up to Farmer Brown's house, Bobby was sure, absolutely sure, that he was being taken somewhere to be killed. He didn't have a doubt, not the least doubt of it. When they reached the barn, Farmer Brown's boy put Bobby down very gently, but fastened him in the coat so that he couldn't get out. Then he went to the house and presently returned with some neat strips of clean white cloth. Then he took out his knife and made very smooth two thin flat sticks. When these suited him, he tied Bobby's hind legs together so that he couldn't kick with them. Then he placed Bobby on his side on a board and with a broad strip of cloth bound him to it in such a way that Bobby couldn't move. All the time he talked to Bobby in the gentlest of voices and did his best not to hurt him. But Bobby couldn't understand, and to be wholly helpless, not to be able to kick or scratch or bite, was the most dreadful feeling he ever had known. He was sure that something worse was about to happen. You see, he didn't know anything about doctors, and so of course he couldn't know that Farmer Brown's boy was playing doctor. Very, very gently, Farmer Brown's boy felt of the broken leg. He brought the broken parts together, and when he was sure that they had just fitted, he bound them in place with one of the thin, smooth, flat sticks with one of the strips of clean white cloth. Then he put the other smooth, flat stick above the break and wound the whole about with strips of cloth so tightly that there was no chance for those two sticks to slip. That was so that the two parts of the broken bone in the leg would be held just where they belonged until they could grow together. When it was done to suit him, he covered the outside with something very, very bitter and bad tasting. This was to keep Bobby from trying to tear off the cloth with his teeth. You see, he knew that if that leg was to become as good as ever it was, it must stay just as he had bound it until Old Mother Nature could heal it. So Farmer Brown's boy played doctor, and a very gentle and kindly doctor he was, for his heart was full of pity for poor Bobby Coon.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle.